calling in for this time of praise and worship. We thank everybody who has come upon the line today. We ask that God be in our presence. It's exciting to be with the saints today. When two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst. So we invite our God, invoke his presence today. Amen, amen. I'm going to read, I guess we'll proceed with this this line of service today. I'll read the scripture, Psalms 100 today. And Sister Ruby, I know you'll do an opening prayer for us. I didn't know if Brother Everett was on the line or not. Also, if since Sister Juan is on, she would read the scripture for us today. We would have a song of praise by Brother Al. We would give our lesson and message today. And, of course, after that, we will have comments and words of encouragement. And our superintendent, Minister Uncle John, will have additional comments, and then we would do, he would have his comments, and then we'll do additional comments and announcements after that. And hopefully, Mother Cora is on the line today. We would ask her if she is to do our closing song in prayer. Amen, amen, amen. I will read Psalms 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good, and know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endureth forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Sister Ruby.
Lord God, our Father, we come this morning saying thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you touched us this morning with your finger of love and our eyes came open. We thank you this morning, Lord God, that we have the use and activities of our limbs, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for a mind to call on the name of Jesus one more time. Lord God, we come praying and asking that you forgive us for all our sins, God. Lord, we come praying and asking that you will come on in this place. Holy Spirit, sweet Holy Spirit, come on in and have your way, Lord. Move, Lord. Move all over this place. And when I say all over this place, I'm talking about our hearts, Lord God. Clean up our hearts. Clean up our minds, our thoughts, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I come right now lifting up Minister Deborah Singleton to you, Lord, as she says, preach you and teach your word, Lord God. Give a Holy Ghost boldness in the name of Jesus. I lift up Pastor Kuiper right now as he brings the word, Lord God. Lord God, keep him, Lord God. Enlarge his territory. Give him his heart desires in the name of Jesus. Bless his family. Bless his going. Bless his coming, Lord God. Now I lift up every household that's represented on this line. I don't know their needs, but you do, God. I ask right now that you meet them at their point of needs, whether they need financial, emotional, bereavement. You know, God, just touch them in a mighty way. Touch their families. Bless their household, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you, God. We just pray. I just want to praise you this morning because you've been mighty good. Help me, Lord. You have kept me no matter what has been thrown at me. You have kept me, God, and I'm just grateful to be able to call on the name of Jesus one more time, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for life, health, and strength. Thank you for this line, God. Thank you for every household that's not finding Robert. They just pick up the phone and call in just to hear a word from you. Be with us, God, as we go out through this day. Protect us. Keep us from any hurt, harm, and danger. Lead and guide us the way you would have us go. Not our will, but your will be done. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Al, God bless you. Would you bless us this morning? Amen.
Amen. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied. just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snare, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with my burden share? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Ooh, just a closer walk with thee. The granted Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What an awesome song of praise this morning. A closer walk with the Lord. A closer walk with thee. Thank you, Brother Al. God bless you so much for that song. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Sister Wanda to read our scripture. But Brother Allen, I would ask you if you could pray and meditate as she's reading that. Maybe the Lord would give you another song of preparation for us. I'm asking that of you if you can, my brother. Just pray. I know God will bless us with something from your heart today. Amen. Amen. Sister Wanda, would you give us our scripture reading for today?
Yes. Good morning. First Kings chapter 8, verses 22 through 24, verses 37 through 39, and verses 46 through 50. And they read as follows. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. He said, O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below, who keeps the covenant and shows loving kindness to your servants, who walk before you with all their heart. You have, you who have kept what you promised to your servant, my father David. You have spoken with your mouth and have fulfilled your word with your hand as it is this day. I forgot to say I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. I'm down to verse 37. If there is famine in the land, or if there is pestilence, plague, blight, mildew, migrators, locusts, or grasshoppers, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever affliction or plague, whatever sickness, whatever prayer or pleading is made by an individual or by your people Israel, each knowing the affliction of your own heart, and spreading his hands out towards this house. Then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and act and give to each according to his ways, whose heart you know, for you are, and you alone know the hearts of all the children of men. Verses 46, when they sin against you, and you are angry with them and hand them over to the enemy so that they are carried away captive to the enemy's land, far away or near, if they take it to heart in the land where they have been taken captive and they repent and pray to you in the land of their captors, saying, we have sinned and done wrong, and we have acted wickedly. If they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who have taken them captive, and they pray to you towards their land, which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name and presence, then hear their prayer and their supplication in heaven, your dwelling place, and maintain their right and defend their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you and all the transgressions which they have committed against you, and make them objects of compassion before their captors, that they may be merciful to you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading during his word. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Wanda, for the reading of our scripture today. What powerful scripture today for our lesson today. We give praise to our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. Brother Al, do you have something of praise that you can offer as a hymn of preparation, a song of preparation? Amen.
Amen. We've come this far by faith.
Yes.
Leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord.
Yeah.
Trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Don't be discouraged when trouble gets into your life. He will bear your burdens and move all misery and strife. That's why we come this far by faith.
Yes.
Leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust In the Lord I will trust. In the Lord till I die. Till I die I will trust. In the Lord I will trust. In the Lord, yes, sir. I'll trust in the Lord till I die. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We know that we have come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. Thank you so much, Brother Al, for those songs of preparation and praise. For surely we will always trust in the Lord. We lean not to our own understanding. In everything that we do, we acknowledge him so that he would direct our paths. We trust him, we put our faith in him, and we believe undoubtedly that our God is able to keep us and to carry us through this journey. Amen. Amen. God bless all the saints on the line today. This is the gathering place beyond the walls. And we just thank for all of you who have tuned in today, who called in to participate and to pray and to be a part of this fellowship of believers on the line. And today, in the absence of Pastor Dr. Deb Singleton, she has asked me to come to give this lesson today. And I've been blessed. I'm always blessed when I go into the Word and begin to study and to receive any revelation the Lord may give us. And we ask that you be tuned to this as well. As you all are tracking along, I'm assuming from week to week, today's lesson is coming from 1 Kings chapter 8. It is Solomon dedicating the temple of God. And I chose as a topic to kind of change the title a little bit. It's Solomon dedicates the temple with prayer, with worship, and sacrifice. Amen. The focus scripture of the lesson today was 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 22 to 24, 37 through 39, 46. And 48 through 50. And we thank Sister Wanda for reading those scriptures for us in our hearing today. Our God is good and he's so gracious. We don't want to keep you long, but we want to make sure we cover this lesson in the fullness of the context of the lesson. We want to make sure that we minister this word of God to us. The dedication of the temple is one of the most grandiose events and ceremonies in our holy scriptures. Yes. It is probably the most exciting thing that had happened in the life of the Israelites since their departure from Egypt, being set free and going to Mount Sinai, receiving God's law. Yes, it was an impressive and awe-inspiring event that we are talking about today. Yes, Solomon put together a magnificent spectacle. If we read the whole chapter 8, we will see the magnificence of this. And we're going to touch on some of that because I believe that we should expand beyond the text of our lesson to get the most of the flavor we can from God's word today. It was an impressive event. It was glorious. It was full of luxury and luxury. It was majestic. Yes, it was a majestic occasion. It was elaborate in some ways. Of course, because of Solomon being a king, it was stately. It had some opulence in it. Yes, there was nothing spared by Solomon in bringing about this occasion and this dedication of this holy temple. And of course, it was done in the sight of our God as a classy presentation to him in the midst of all the people. Yet in the midst of all of this, all of his grandeur and grandiose display, Solomon showed his humility before the Almighty God. Yes. El Shaddai. Yes. Elohim. Yes. The Lord God of Israel. This made the occasion reverent, holy, and blessed by the Lord God of Israel. My brothers and sisters on the line, Brother Al, Sister Ruby, Sister Wanda, I know you all are tuned in, and those others that are listening. The temple itself was all of these things as well. It was magnificent. Yes, it was built as a house for the name of the Lord and the God of Israel. It was a place where God's people could be in his presence, preparing them to become the holy people on the earth. In Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 through 9, the Lord told Moses that the Israelites were to make a special place for him. There he would come and live among them daily. This was the tabernacle of the old time. The Lord told Moses to build this tabernacle, to let the people work on it. And he told them how to make the tabernacle and how to make everything to go inside it. It had to be exactly as God told him, for it was to be a replica of that holy tabernacle temple in heaven. At the time of David and Solomon, the original tabernacle of the Lord that was made by Moses was located in Gibeah. We can find this bared out in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 39, chapter 21, verse 29. And in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and 1, 16, 17 and 16 and 1, the scriptures say that David moved the Ark of the Covenant into a tent that he erected in the city of David in Jerusalem. So we get a situation where there appears to be the tabernacle that rested in Gibeah. Amen. And then we have David building a tent in the city of David in Jerusalem. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant rested. The tabernacle was a temporary mobile dwelling place while they were in the wilderness wandering and as they began to move into the promised land. But once Israel was secure in the land, David wanted to build the permanent dwelling place for God in Jerusalem. However, God did not allow David to build the temple because he had shed much blood as a warrior. Yes, you can find that said in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 7 through 9. Yes, Solomon was a man of peace. And so God had promised that even though he would not let David build this temple, he will let his son build it. And so Solomon, whose name means peace, because at that time there was peace in the land, he was the one that was allowed to build this temple. And so many call this the Temple of Solomon. It is God's temple. It is the first temple that was built as a permanent place for God to dwell. As we look at this dedication of the temple to the Lord, I would like to spend most of our time today focusing on the prayer offered by Solomon to the Lord. And there are seven things that I want us to listen for and to look for in this prayer. So if you have your pencil and paper, if you have notes and you want to take notes, as we go through these scriptures, we want you to look for Jesus in the text, but also listen for these seven things that I believe that are covered in his dedication prayer. The first thing is how God judging between servants. Judging between servants. The second thing is overcoming defeat. The third thing would be surviving a drought, that is surviving lack, surviving deficiency or scarcity in our lives. Number four, surviving disaster or disease. We can think about COVID-19. But surviving disaster or disease. Number five, accepting the foreigner or the outsider or the unbeliever, how they come into this fold. Number six, winning the war in enemy land. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we are sojourners in this world. Once we become believers and we become believers in Jesus Christ, we are now part of his family, his kingdom, and we now are sometimes in enemy territory, but we can win the victory. Number seven, forgiveness and mercy for sin. That is God's forgiveness and mercy for sin. Amen. So those seven things we want to focus on as we look at his dedication prayer. Amen. And we want to walk through that as well. Now, my brothers and sisters, move forward into our text as we come to 1 Kings chapter 8. Something is happening. Prior to that, we have a lot of details of the temple and the construction of the temple that was done by Solomon. Yes, King Solomon was probably around the age of 22 when he did this project and this temple was built. He became king when he was around the age of 18, so he was a young man. But he was given this responsibility. As we know, at the beginning of 1 Kings, as he took the throne and God came to him and appeared to him, God asked him, what would he have him to do for him? And he asked for wisdom. So here we see him carrying out the responsibility of building the temple and exercising God's wisdom as he moves forward in his reign as king. As we come to 1 Kings chapter 8, the temple project is finished, and now it's time for the grand opening. Yes, this glorious event of dedicating the temple, opening it up for it to be operational in their midst. The building was complete, sisters and brothers, but something was missing. The most important thing was missing as we're entering into chapter 8, and that was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represents God's presence among the people. It was at the city of David that they had to bring it up to the temple. It was especially important because of the lid and the mercy seat where the blood was sprinkled for the forgiveness of sin. So the house, that temple that they had built and constructed in chapter 7, they had constructed it, but the house was empty without the presence of God. Yes, the house was empty without the presence of God. And you too, my brothers and sisters, we are empty without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Isn't God all right? So we are empty without the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Ark of the Covenant had been with them since they had been at Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses the instructions on building this tabernacle and also the instructions on building the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark had been with them since Mount Sinai through the time of their wandering through the wilderness. It was only a short period of time that they did not have it in their possession when they lost it to the Philistines. But that was for a short period of time. They were able to regain it, and the Philistines gave it up. It doesn't give us all the reasons, but we know that it brought some plagues upon the Philistines that they couldn't handle it. They didn't know what to do with God. They didn't know how to handle him. Yes, and even when God had the Philistines so frustrated that they gave it back to the Israelites, it ended up staying, amen, in the house of Abinadab for about 20 years before David and them decided to try to go get it and bring it back to Jerusalem. Yes, even when they went to get it, David and his exuberance and his excitement of bringing it still forgot how you were supposed to handle the Ark. You know, I remember ministering a word some years ago that you got to handle God the right way. You just can't handle God. You can't handle God anyway. But you got to approach God, and you got to carry God the right way. We're supposed to carry God the right way. And so even when they tried to bring it back from Abinadab's house, they put it on a cart. It was never supposed to be riding on a cart, on a donkey. And when it got to the threshing floor and it was unstable, it began to shake. And one of the servants reached out and it killed him when he touched the ark, because they were handling it the wrong way. And David stopped the procession, and something was a problem here. They knew that something was wrong, so they end up leaving it, and it stayed at Obed-Edom's house for a period of time as they went back and tried to know and learn how to carry God the right way. And so they came back from Obed-Edom's house. But while it was at Obed-Edom's house, he and his family was blessed by the presence of the ark being there with him, the presence of God. And they came back and carried it the right way with the staves as it was intended to be on the shoulders of the Israelites. And they brought it back home. And then it was resting at Gibeah as we enter into chapter 8. So as we enter into chapter 8, that ark of the covenant was at Gibeah. Chapter 8, verse 1 starts with saying that King Solomon summoned into his presence at Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes, and the chiefs of the Israelites' family. And he brought them together so that they could bring up the ark of the Lord's covenant from Zion, the city of David. Hallelujah. All the Israelites came together to King Solomon at the time of the festival in the month of Etanim, the seventh month. Yes, my brothers and sisters, what we have here is the Feast of Tabernacles that they were commanded to celebrate, to commemorate in the land. So this was the seventh month when they celebrated this festival, the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll find that in this particular occasion, Solomon added days to the feast. The feast would normally last for 7 days, but Solomon added additional 7 days as he was going through this dedication of the temple of God. So all the Israelites came together to King Solomon. And when all the elders of Israel had arrived, the priests took up the ark, and they brought the ark up, the ark of the Lord, and the tent of the meeting, and all the sacred furnishings of it. They brought it up. The priest and the Levite carried them up, and King Solomon and the entire assembly of Israel that had gathered about him were before the ark, sacrificing many sheep and cattle that they could not be recorded or counted. So even as they were carrying the ark up, they were sacrificing sheep and cattle. Man, this was their form of sacrificial worshiping before God. The priest then brought the ark of the Lord's covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple. Can you imagine this procession as they're going up from the city of David? It's these several miles that they are tracking along like a parade, and they have the ark of the covenant. They're sacrificing these animals before God, before the ark, and they bring the ark into the sanctuary, into the inner sanctuary of the temple. That is the most holy place. They brought it into the Holy of Holies. Yes, the Holies of Holies. They put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. Solomon had built these large cherubims. You know, on the top of the mercy seat, there were cherubims that were there where Moses used to sit on the mercy seat, and God would talk to him there. Yes, yes, my brothers and sisters, but now they're inside this temple. These huge cherubims were there, and they brought this ark of the covenant into that area, and they put it beneath the wings of the cherubim, and the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark and overshadowed the ark. They were so big, and its carrying poles. These poles were so long that the ends could be seen from the holy place. That's the place before the veil. It's the holy place. And then we have the holies of the holies. They could see it in front of the inner sanctuary, but not from the outside of the holy place. So the people outside of the holy place could not see it. And but they are still there. Those staves are still there today. There was nothing in this ark at the time except for the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. But we know from understanding what had taken place during the time of their travels that there were three things at one time that was in the Ark of the Covenant. It was the law, the stone tablets, but it was also Aaron's rod, and it was also a pot of manna. Those things representing the miraculous things that God had done on their sojourn in the wilderness. God fed them with bread from heaven, manna. And we know that Jesus tells us that he is the manna, the true manna from heaven that has come back. He is the bread of life. But yes, they had that miracle there at one time. And also when there was a dispute, the settlement of that dispute among all the tribes was done by the rod. Everybody brought their rods and they had to leave them there overnight, but only Aaron's rod budded. So these things were in the ark, representing those miraculous things, but they were no longer there at this time. What does that tell us? Well, maybe that miracles are good, but they're not always with the most important thing that God's presence brings about and God's faith and power brings about. So it's the law that still remains. The miracles pass, but the law is still the same. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. And so the law remains. And we know as we read in one of the gospel accounts that these signs shall follow them who believe. So there's nothing wrong with miracles. We have miracles today. But let the signs follow us. Let us not follow the signs. Amen. Because Jesus said an adulterous generation seeketh a sign. But yet he still said that these signs shall follow them. So there are signs that's to follow us as believers. Yes, my brothers and sisters, now they have the Ark of Covenant with the two stone tablets that Moses has placed in it. All of it is situated. And when the priests had withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The cloud, that Shekinah glory. That's where it came, the Shekinah glory came into the temple. And the priests could not continue to perform their service because of this cloud, this thick cloud. Some of you can imagine in your mind what this cloud may have looked like in the thickness. Some of us have been in the day, early morning hours when the fog was so thick you couldn't see. You were afraid to drive. You couldn't drive without not feeling safe. Well, here these priests could not continue to serve with the cloud because it began to fill the whole temple. For the glory of the God, of the Lord filled the temple. Yes, that's so powerful to me because God knew that it had finished and now the ark was there and God came to sanctify it and to anoint it and to okay it and to approve of it. He filled that area with his presence. He filled it with the glory. His glory, and because the glory talks about the weightness of his splendor, he filled that whole temple. Then Solomon said, the Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. Yes, he would dwell in a dark cloud. My brothers and sisters, sometimes we think of things, we always think about light, the light things, the bright things. But God said he would dwell in the dark cloud. Kind of makes me think of the scripture in the New Testament says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes in our lives we'll find ourselves in a dark situation, a dark cloud, but we're walking by faith. God knows where to go, so we don't trust our own instincts. We trust in our Lord, and we lean not unto our own understanding. We acknowledge him in the midst of the darkness, and he will direct our path. So we walk by faith and not by sight, a dark cloud. Solomon said, I have indeed built a magnificent temple to you, God, a place for you to dwell forever, was his intention. So my brothers and sisters, I want to say in this section that as the dedication and dedicating this temple, when it was built with all its magnificent things, he didn't just have one lampstand in the holy place. He had 10 because he wanted it to be bright. But maybe he anticipated this occurrence happening once they brought the Ark of the Covenant to the temple. But one thing we can say is that we must be careful that we can have our buildings, church buildings. We can have our edifices that we build, and we can make them magnificent. They can be beautiful edifices, but they are empty structures without the Holy Spirit, without the presence of God. They are just but empty buildings like all other buildings. It is the presence of God. It is the holy people of God that make that building magnificent before God. Now, while the whole assembly of Israel was standing there, King Solomon turned around and blessed them. And what did he say to them? He said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his own hand has fulfilled what he has promised with his own mouth to my father David. For he has said, since that the day I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city in any tribe of Israel to have a temple built so that my name might be there. But I have chosen David to rule my people Israel." So where David was is where the temple would be. My father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord and the God of Israel. I like when it said the name of the Lord. That's the Lord's reputation. It's the Lord's character. It's the Lord's glory. His name is above every name. Come on, somebody. And so that name, he was to build a heart. He had it in his heart to do it. But David loved God. But the Lord said to my father David, you did well to have it in your heart to build a temple for my name. But nevertheless, you are not the one to build the temple, but your son, your own flesh and blood, he is the one who will build the temple for my name. The Lord has kept the promise he made. I have succeeded David, my father, and now I sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised. And I have built the temple for the name of the Lord and the God of Israel. I have provided a place there for the ark in which the covenant of the Lord that he made with our ancestors when he brought them out of Egypt. My brothers and sisters, whenever God makes a promise, it will come to pass. And so we see it coming to pass just what God had told David. Yes, David, you can't build it, but your son will build a house for me. Isn't God awesome? This is awesome. God keeps his promises. It reminds me that when we pray, we should pray the word of God, what he has said, and his promises, because those are in his will, and his will be done in our lives. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray the will of God. Sometimes we pray not knowing if it's truly God's will. It may be the desires of our heart that he may grant. But to know for confidence assurance that God will bring it to pass, pray the word of God. Pray the will of God, the promises of God, through the word of God. Amen, amen, amen. My brothers and sisters, now we're moving into the prayer. Solomon's prayer of dedication. There's power in this section in the prayer of dedication. Those seven things we want to look for in this prayer of dedication. This enters into the text of our lesson for today. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord, in front of the whole assembly of Israel. He spread out his hands toward heaven, and he began to say as he prayed. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. He's standing before the altar, the brazen altar of sacrifice. He's standing before the altar with his arms raised up. But I want y'all to know that sometime during this prayer, he fell on his knees. You say, "Pastor Kuiper, how do you know that he fell on his knees?" Well, sometime during his prayer, he fell on his knee, because if I go to verse number 54, it tells us that when he had finished all the prayers and supplications to the Lord, that he rose before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. So, yes, he was kneeling at some point, because he must have been overwhelmed with the power and the presence and the goodness of God. And sometimes when we pray, we may have different postures of prayer. Yes, we may have different postures of prayer. We know that in Scripture, there are different postures of prayer. There's sometimes a posture of prayer where people lift their hands. Sometimes they are standing. Sometimes they are kneeling. Sometimes they are prostrate. Sometimes when Jesus prayed, his eyes were lifted up toward heaven. Yes, when we pray, we tend to fold the hands, bow the head, and close our eyes. But I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, whatever the posture that you're in prayer, it's the posture of your heart that really matters to God. Where is your heart? You may be sitting down praying. You may be driving in your car praying. But if your heart is prostrated before God in the sincerity of your prayer, God hears your prayer. So here we have Solomon standing with his hands spread out, and he begins to pray to the Lord. Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who you continue wholeheartedly in your way. So we continue in his way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it as it is today. Now, Lord, the God of Israel, keep your servant David, my father, the promise you made to him when you said, you shall never fail to have a successor to sit before me on the throne of Israel. God is saying that to him, to David. If only your descendants are careful in all they do to walk before me faithfully as you have done. So God is talking. He's sort of doing this reflective in the person of God is talking to his father, telling him that he would have a descendant as long as they are faithful to follow what God has set before them to follow. And now, God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. Listen to the humility of Solomon. He knows he's done something big as far as building this temple, this grand edifice, but he realized that God is so awesome that even that temple could not contain him. But we know there's scripture that said that heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. So he knows that God is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He knows that this temple that he built is but a mere building that only can contain the presence that God puts there. But he knows that God is bigger than the temple. But he says, yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Lord, my God, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, the place of which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and your people, Israel, when they, amen, pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. So now he's setting up this part of his prayer as he's talking to him. He said, this place where we built this temple, and this temple where your ark is present, hear oh God, when we face this place and we turn to this place. Yes, that's why back in those days people would pray, and they would pray facing the temple in Jerusalem, facing where God's presence was for the nation. Even when Daniel was in captivity, he prayed three times and faced Jerusalem, praying. And he said, hear for them. And this reminds us sometime of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, when it talks about, if my people. So this is a prelude to that. So God, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but God kind of answers this prayer in that statement in Chronicles. That was his response in some sense to this. But that was much later. So he goes on. Now we get into the seven things I want you to focus on, and I will try to get to these as quickly as possible, knowing that our time is being spent. In verse number 31 in chapter 8, it says, when anyone wrongs their neighbor and is required to take an oath, and they come and swear the oath before the altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act. So we have what we call, we normally see conditional statements that says, if you do this, then. If you do this, God will do something else. So he's telling them that if they pray before this altar, hear them, Lord, and act. Judge between your servants, condemning the guilty by bringing down on their heads what they have done, and vindicating the innocent by treating them in accordance with their innocence. So now God is judging between the two servants, who's innocent and who's guilty, as they pray. The second thing of this prayer that I want to point out is overcoming defeat. In verse number 33, it says, when your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy, because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and give praise to your name, praying and making supplication to you in this temple, then hear from heaven. Come on, God, hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people, Israel, and bring them back to the land you gave to their ancestors. And Solomon is laying the foundation in his prayer to things to come to Israel and things to come for us. Hallelujah. The third thing that I wanted to point out in his prayer is surviving drought, lack, deficiency, or scarcity. Verse number 35 says, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and give praise to your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven, O God, and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. Amen. So when there's lack and drought because we sin, we must turn from our, we must ask God for our forgiveness. We pray to him and give honor to his name and turn away from our wickedness, that he may bring rain and send rain to the land, that he may help us and send abundance and the like, make us bring away and move away the deficiency and bring us back into a right state. And when there's scarcity, that he would give us more rain. The fourth thing is surviving disaster or disease. Verse 37 says, when famine or plague comes to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, and when an enemy besieges them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by anyone among your people, is there a remnant being aware of the afflictions of their own hearts and spreading out their hands toward this temple. Then hear from heaven your dwelling place. And what does he want God to do? Forgive and act. Deal with everyone according to all they do, since you know their hearts. God doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. For you alone know every human heart, so that they will fear you all the time they live in the land that you gave our ancestors. The fifth thing. Accepting the foreigner, the outsider, the unbeliever. Verse 41 says, as for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name. They heard about you, God. They heard about your name, your fame, your reputation, your name, your character, who you are and what you do. For they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When they come, these foreigners come, when they come, when these unbelievers come, when these other people come, because they've heard about you, and pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, O God, and do whatever that foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. What a powerful thing. It lets us know that this was Israel was supposed to be a nation that was to be example for other nations, and God's house was supposed to be a house for all nations. And if we know that as we move forward in our time as believers sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, whosoever will, let them come that they might receive salvation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we see Solomon saying that the foreigner can come if they come the right way. They come hearing about God, but then praying to God and submitting themselves and their lives to God, that God might hear their request. Amen, amen, amen. The sixth thing in this prayer I want to point out is winning the war in enemy land. Verse 44 says, when your people go to war against their enemy, wherever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward the city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name. Then, I love that word, then means something in this prayer, then hear from heaven their prayer and their plea and uphold their cause against that enemy. Listen, my brothers and sisters, when we go to war, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are spiritual, to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. They are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons are not carnal. They are spiritual for us. But for the Israelites, when they would go against their enemy, go out to battle, they would be victorious in battle by looking and praying toward the Lord, toward the city, toward the temple where his name is. He would hear them and help them in their cause in battle. The seventh and last thing I want to point out in the prayer here is forgiveness and mercy for sin. Verse 46 says, when they sin against you, O God, for there is no one who does not sin. Oh, Paul, tell me in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. None are righteous, no, not one. And you, God, become angry with them and give them over to their enemies who take them captive to their own land, far away or even near. And if they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive and repent and plead with you in the land of their captors and say, we have sinned, O God. We have done wrong. We have acted wickedly. And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their enemy who took them captive, and pray to you toward the land you gave their ancestors, toward the city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their plea and uphold their cause. And forgive your people who have sinned against you. Forgive all their offenses they have committed against you, and cause their captors to show them mercy, for they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of the iron-smelting furnace. May your eyes be open to your servants, O God, and to the plea for your people Israel, and you may listen to them whenever they cry out to you. Yes, hear our cry, O God. Attend unto our cry when our hearts are overwhelmed. Take us to that mountain, to that place that's higher than us. Lift us up, O God, for you singled them out from the nations of the world to be your own inheritance, just as you declared through your servant Moses when you, sovereign Lord, brought our ancestors out of Egypt. As I said before, when he got through praying, Solomon finished his prayer, and he rose from the altar where he was kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. And he stood up and blessed the whole assembly in a loud voice, saying, "Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he has promised." I want to stop there because I know the time is spent, but I want to tell to you as to understand the power of this prayer of dedication. As he moved into the latter part of this chapter, and I don't want to overlap it, there's another lesson coming next week that will go further, but we know that he gives this praise to God as he's talking to the people. He's telling them that may the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience to him and keep the commandments, decrees, and laws he gave our ancestors. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord God, our God, day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need, so that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. And may your hearts be filled or fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time. My brothers and sisters, I close. Let us be reminded that we are to be dedicated. We are to pray to our God. He has provided provisions. Even in Solomon's prayer, dedication to the temple, he has asked God to be faithful to them if they turn to him, that he would hear their cries, he would hear their pleas in many situations. In the situation that we are having disagreements with each other, we're not to go downtown to the judge house, but many times we end up doing it. But even in the New Testament, in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Paul was asking, was there anyone who could handle these disputes among you? Let God judge between his servants. And he prayed the prayer that we can be overcomers, that we would not be defeated, that we'd be overcomers if we turn to him, turn to the place where God is, surviving the drought, being able to survive the lack, surviving disease and disaster. No pestilence come now our dwelling place. Some of us know that it was difficult in the time of disaster. We have disasters, natural disasters, and we have disease and plagues that have come upon us. and some we have lost, but some have survived. Accepting the foreigner, the outsider, we accept those and embrace them into the kingdom of God. We show the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us, and that we can reach out to witness to others and let them know that God loves them, for they are part of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to die for our sins, that whosoever will come and believe, they will not perish but have everlasting life, because his name is in us. His name is in the place. We are winning the war against the enemy in the land. Yes, sometimes it looks like the church is defeated in the land, but we are winning the war because we turn to our God. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. There's forgiveness for sin, because 1 John 1:9 says, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. So we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, I close. Lord, help me to close. I love this text. I love this scripture. And I know there's more that you all can share with us concerning these. Yes, 1 Corinthians 3:17 says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are, saint. You are that temple today. Yes, yes, yes. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Yes, you've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are his workmanship. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. Yes, God's presence is in the earth because there are people who are believers in Jesus Christ. And so, saints, it is my prayer and my belief as I close this message today, this lesson, this teaching, that we will look at this thing that Solomon has done in dedicating the temple, in his prayer, in his humility before God, even in the midst of the grandeur of the spectacle itself. He humbled himself to pray before God and ask God's divine intervention upon the people of Israel as they looked toward his presence, which was in the temple, in the ark of the covenant that he made with them. Jesus Christ made a covenant with us through his body and blood. He sacrificed himself on the cross at Calvary. He shed his blood for the forgiveness and remission of our sin. So there is forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. There is redemption through the blood of Jesus. And all people, all nations can come and accept and receive Christ as their Savior. What a mighty God we serve. What a glorious God we serve. And what an awesome lesson today on Solomon dedicating the temple and his prayer and worship. The rest of the chapter deals with his sacrifices. Read the rest of chapter 8 and see how much sacrifice. It took a whole extra week of the Feast of the Tabernacle. You could say it was extended. Another 7 days, 14 days. It was so much sacrifice, so much offering and worship to our God. Let us go through the rest of our day today, remembering what God has done for us, his promises that he's made to us, his word that's true to us, and let us pray for always his word, that his will be done in the earth and in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah, saints. Hallelujah. That is our lesson for today. Hallelujah. Are there any comments or thoughts or words that you want to share today on the line, saints? I don't know if Mother Cora, Mother Neil, or anyone. I know Sister Ruby had to leave. Anybody else on the line that would like to share? I want to give you that opportunity to talk or reflect upon our lesson today.
Good morning. Praise God for the word this morning. Thanking you for your words of encouragement. Very well explained. Very understandable, clear. I thank you for it, and I enjoy hearing you. And I pray God's blessing upon you. Amen.
Amen, Mother Cora. Thank you so much. God bless you, my sister. It's always good to hear your voice when I'm on the line and hear your words of wisdom and sharing with us what God has done and what God is doing and how we should think about the things of God. You have blessed me many times. God bless you so much. Anybody else, anything, any word? I don't know if any other saints on the line.
Hey, this is Wanda. I just wanted to say that I really, really enjoyed the way that you broke it down, that you applied that we can apply it to our everyday life. I love this the statement you made, let God judge among his servants. A lot of times we take it out of God's hands, thinking we're doing something more powerful, more meaningful, and it's a lot of times, you know, it can be dealt with in the spirit. And that just stood out to me.
Amen. Amen, wow. Sister Wanda. That's powerful. You know, I always say that, you know, when I try to do it myself and say, let God do it, I'll mess it up every time.
Amen.
Amen. You know, sometimes we end up trying to get in God's way. We might create an Ishmael. That's what some of the old saints in the Pentecostals are too. I don't want to create no Ishmael. I want to stay true to Isaac, okay, the right way.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Amen. That's blessing. Blessings. Any other thoughts? Amen. 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 Want to make sure we give y'all an opportunity to say anything that God is going to give you in your heart, because you never know what you say will bless us. I remember a few weeks ago the word hope came on the line. I stayed with that. It's still with me. And other things that have been shared by the saints on the line. Mm. So thank you all for your sharing. Anybody else before we move forward? Amen. Well, we'll say silence means we'll move to the next step. And we're going to ask our superintendent, if he don't mind me calling Minister Uncle John. Uncle John, are you on the line? Come on for us, sir. We're waiting to hear a blessing from the Lord from you, sir.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's been a wonderful blessing this morning. I always like it when they talking about King Solomon. There's so much to be said. That we wouldn't have books couldn't contain him. So much to be said about King Solomon.
Oh, Lord.
Well, thank you, Pastor Kuiper, for breaking open the lesson for us. And but you say we are empty without the presence of God's Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thought. You're empty. Nothing but an empty vessel without God.
Yes, Lord.
Our devotion this morning, Pastor Kuiper, opening scripture, morning prayer, Sister Ruby, song of today, Brother Al, let me walk close to thee. Our morning scriptures, Sister Wanda, thank you for that. Brother Al, with our last song, we come this far by faith. That's exactly how we made it this far, is by faith.
Mm.
Didn't bring your own self, so you came by faith.
Yes.
This lesson today, Pastor Kuiper taught it so well, I just throw a couple of verses in. Verse 37 and 38 from this be in the land of Phantomy, if there be Pelican, Blasting, Mildew, Locust, there be a caterpillar, if their enemy besieged them in the land of their city, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all the people of Israel, we shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hand toward this house. We want to talk this morning that your problem is not bigger than God promises.
All right.
Your problem is not bigger than God promises. Whatever problem you're having today, whether it be sickness, death in the family, or whatever, your problem is not bigger than God promises.
No.
Solomon, the son of David, he was anointed king over all Jerusalem at a very early age. But his father, King David, had warned him about this life. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should and charge Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the law of thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgment and his testimony, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou doest, you may prosper in all that you do. Men, we need to talk to our son this morning. Let them know about this life and what God told us to do through his son, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Make it a promise. Talk to your son. Tell your son, tell your daughter that your problem is not bigger than what God has promised.
Yes, Lord.
Solomon did well when he followed his father's plan. When it came to obeying the law. But he found out the job he was anointed for, that he was insufficient to do the job. 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon made sacrifices unto God. In giving, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, what shall I give thee? Almighty God, asking Solomon, what shall I give thee? But he said, now, O Lord, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge the people. I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And this pleases the Lord. The Lord said, behold, I have done according to your words. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, and there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall arise unto thee. I so give thee, which thou hast not asked, both richness and honor, so that thou shalt not get it among the king back unto thee all thy days. And if thou walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did, then I will lend thy days. So Solomon prayed and dedicated the temple to the Lord. He will let us know that wherever you may be in the world, you have a problem, turn your face towards Jerusalem and pray. And he would heal and answer prayer. But before I go, I must tell you this. 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways till I heal from heaven and forgive their sins, for heal their land. I tell you this morning, your problem is not bigger than God promised. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
My problem is not bigger than God's problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. That's powerful. We gotta remember that and believe that. That your problem is not bigger than God's promise.
Amen.
Thank you, Minister Uncle John, for that word. And a beautiful word. Thank you so much. God bless you, my brother. And I just thank God for that. You know, now I would say it's been a wonderful time with you all today. Are there any additional comments anybody would like to say before we move to close? And I'll give a couple of announcements. I think I have one or two. Amen. Anyone? Okay. Thank you. So announcements. We'll just ask that you all, if you can, come back this evening at 7 p.m. As we gather again and on the line for a time in the Lord to praise him and worship him and also hear a word. I believe that Apostle Asaph will be bringing a word this evening at 7 p.m. Also be mindful, as Dr. Singleton has brought to our attention before, that on the fifth Sunday there will be a ministry for those in the local area down, I believe, at Loaves and Fishes. We want to put that on your calendar and on your mind. She can explain that further the next time that she's online. And also we're looking forward to a time in the future as we get to Romans chapter 12. That's based on our study on Tuesday night. And we want to try to bring people together in person, but also those that are on the line, bring them on the line as well. So we will have some in person and some on the line at the same time. And we just want to be able to fellowship and do that lesson that way. I can't think of any other announcements or anything that I have to bring before you today, but it's been a pleasure to be on the line with you all and have an opportunity to share on this awesome text and word, and also to hear your comments and our superintendent's word that he's given us today. And I'm going to ask Mother Corey, because this is what was part of the agenda, and I hope that you can do this for us. We want you to give us a closing song and prayer as we end our time together today.
The blood of Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives us strength from day to day, it will never It reaches to the heart. flow to the low is valley, the blood that gives us strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Heavenly Father, we come to at this time, thanking you for allowing us to assemble here on this line once again. Thanking you for the word that came forth this morning, oh Heavenly Father. Thanking you for blessing us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you, oh Heavenly Father, for all that you do for each and every one of us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for not being a selfish and person, oh Heavenly Father, that you love one and all, oh Heavenly Father, because the words say you reign on the unjust as well as the just. So we just give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. And it's always in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints on the line. May the grace of God be with you as you go about your daily activity today. I love you. May God's grace be upon you. And remember, your problem is not bigger than God's promise. God bless you. I love y'all. Y'all have a great rest of your day.
Amen. Love, praise God for you. Amen.
Amen.